This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's on.
You ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
I should know it's on.
It's on.
You good? You want to
keep us up? Let's go!
Man, coming up, I'm super excited. We've got Anthony Hamilton, R&B singer, Grammy Award winner, and he's here in studio for Cut to It. He's your neighbor, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And it was wonderful to sit down with him, but also to be able to see and go through the process of how creative genius. How you could just take something small and make it into something huge like that.
Yeah. And he did the Cut to It intro song. So I'm really excited to talk about that as well.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. I don't know anything else that you were talking about. Anthony, how did this go? I was scared to talk to you and ask you.
Yeah.
I was nervous. I was like, man. Because we were thinking about music, and I was just like, man, I know Anthony. I think I got a pretty good relationship with him.
Yeah.
I'm kind of scared to ask him because I know how many people ask me things, ask things of me. And I'm just like, man, I don't want to be that dude.
Yeah. And you served it up as a possibility because we were just thinking of like just some just regular old lead-in music. And then he's like, oh, I got a tie to Anthony. We're like... Okay.
Yeah. And then the tie, when I mentioned it, I think it was like it was like a month and a half.
Yeah.
Of like, damn, I'm scared. And I was scared to be rejected.
Yeah.
But I was also scared for you not to feel used.
Mm. Yeah. You know, I was honored. And I knew you were coming from a place. Not like that cousin who keeps asking,
we just want something
for the Cash App.
Yeah.
You know,
man,
you know it was from a different place than the Cash App ask or the, you know, man, I don't know what I'm gonna do. So it wasn't that. You put in a lot of work. I'm a big fan of who you are and what you represent as a not only a football player but a father.
Mm.
So I knew it was coming from a different place. And then, you know, I want to know, do you have music? Because do I need to get music or do you have music? All those things, you know, made it even easier for me to go in. I was like, all right. I was in the studio. I was like, let me listen to this music. I was like, okay.
First, I remember, actually.
Yeah, we had a few tracks that my brother-in-law actually is a is a producer. So he made some beats. And so we sent them over and we went back and forth on, you know, which one sounds good, which ones are worthy enough for you to grace us with your presence on them. And so we sent them over to you.
Yeah. This one stood out.
Mm.
Yeah. Because it sounded, you know, had a good energy about it. And so I was like, all right, I can see myself, you know, doing something to this one.
Yeah, I was like, what was it? It was June.
Yeah.
June 20th.
Yeah.
slap in the middle of a pandemic also.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we kept seeing each other.
Mm-hmm.
We kept seeing each other on walks.
Yeah. In the grocery store.
Yeah, oh, we was in a grocery store. We was in the neighborhood taking walks.
Yeah.
Man, we was walking all the time. And I told him, I said, man, this is fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of conversation going on. And then I was like, he was like, man, I haven't seen you. I was like, well... We also moved.
Yeah.
He was like, what?
What?
Yeah. And so it was, he sent it to me and I still have it. So June, and then that's when we did, that's when Anthony sent it back to me.
Yep.
Yeah. I want you to hear it.
And he was like, yo, I can't tell y'all all of the other parts of it too.
Oh, so he gave you a preview.
about it, then I'm about to let you know. So,
man, what?
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted it to have that old R&B, like,
yeah,
kind of, all right, cool. That was, yeah, it gave me a feeling of like the old good R&B. And I wanted it to sound good. I wanted people to be like, what is this?
I listened to it so many times. My kids was finally like, all right, Dad, that's enough.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. I love it. The fact that we have it on the podcast, you can download it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just the intro.
Yep.
Wow, that's dope.
Like, it's just, it's, you know, like, it ain't like, oh, this is something we did. No, this is Anthony. I'm just a good looking, handsome guy.
Subjective.
We've had people want to download the song. Like, is there more to it?
Wow.
Yeah, like people hit us up in our DMs.
I might have to.
Yeah, we cash out that, cool. Huh?
Yeah.
So who?
Full track.
Who produced that? So, was that your people?
Yeah, Alex Johnson. So it's my brother-in-law. He's a producer. He lives up in D.C.
Okay. Yeah, I might have to bless it with a whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
We'll link it up.
Whoa.
I mean, Steve, you're part of
this it. This is a Grammy winner. He said he wanna link something up.
You know,
I understand, but I own it. So
we ain't got $4,000 in the budget.
It's gonna be way more than $4,000.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, I ain't talking.
I'm like,
my business and contracts. Yeah, you just said link it up. All I said is
I'm like a full version. I'm just like, whoa, he's like, oh, we can hook this up. I'm like,
no.
This hooking up, I gotta write the check.
Just to see where I would go creatively.
Ooh.
You know, I'd be like, let me see what
you want a background.
Ooh, that's like a temptation.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
We got to come up with a routine.
A routine.
You got to watch the hamstring with that move.
Nah, they still good. I'm running it. I'm running.
Look, I took off running the other day. My boys didn't know I ran track.
Yeah,
I ran the hurdles.
The high hurdles or the 330s?
The 110.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
110 hurdles and the
another fellow midget in the high hurdles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 110 hurdles, long jump.
I say fellow midget because he will tell you. Generally, the high hurdlers are not 5'9" and below.
No.
They're usually 6'10" and above.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you did Smyrna. Did you play any else? Did you play football?
I played football as tailback and safety.
How long, when did you discover you no longer were good in football?
When I broke my leg, man.
Oh, yeah, see? I
broke my leg. No. Making a tackle.
Let me guess. Tall sweep.
Yep, it was a sweep.
That's always
making
sweet.
A tackle. Yes.
Always it was just like.
Do
Mr.
you
Chief.
Know why?
Because that running to the side.
Yeah.
Yep.
Safety blew up that D gap. Bow.
Yeah. Tackle got tripped up.
Yeah. Yep, that's what it was. I'm like, I'm making
Make
a tackle, but I'm coming up like
You said I'm done.
I'm done. Where's the mic? Where's the microphone? Where is the microphone? 700.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, Anthony, our first segment is called Get Iced Up.
Oh, yeah.
Just icebreaker questions.
Yeah.
They're randomly selected.
Super random.
Smitty, go ahead and give him the first one.
You ready? Would you rather lose the ability to read or lose the ability to speak?
The ability to read.
For a singer?
Yeah.
I
wouldn't need that.
Because I already know what I want to say.
Oh, okay. Cool.
All right. Tired of it. Don't want no more.
Yeah,
I ain't got to read that to know.
Gee, what would you?
I go with lose ability to speak. I need to be able to read some contracts. I can deal with that. I don't want to lose my literacy.
You got to have a really good threat when you. It's like if eventually I find out that this ain't what it is.
Yeah,
I'm gonna kill you. All you got to have is a real one of them and make good on one or two of them.
Uh-huh.
They'll have you don't have to read. Just have your money there. James Brown had a pistol. Which one would you choose, Steve?
I'm going to just say what some of these folks think. Hell, if you look on the back of some of the containers and the ingredients of food, shit, I can't read anyway. Some of the words. You got to look at the word, then look it up to see what it is. Mm. So I'm going to go with speak. Because I do agree with you, and this is people listening would understand. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is mollywop a few people, and then when you throw it out there, that is a possibility you're going to mollywop them, and your track record shows that you are
a mollywopper.
A mollywopper.
then you start, you just, hey.
It's like, it was,
you ever seen a mute mollywopper? Don't probably, go too well.
Yeah, it's probably a hard lick.
All right. What long shot have you taken that really paid off?
Long shot have I taken?
Yeah, your version of long shot, because they all vary.
Betting on this music thing. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, betting on this and going through with it and taking all the steps. Mm. Just putting all my all is betting on it hard.
Yeah.
And it's paying off.
That's cool.
Yeah. What food do you love that a lot of people might find a little odd?
What food I love that most people would find a little odd?
As you're thinking about it, I can tell you mine. I don't know what it is, bro, but I really enjoy sometimes just making some Fruity Pebble Rice Krispie Treats. I don't know why. Like some people, yeah. For a 42-year-old man, some people say, yeah. Bro, you still eating cereal?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I love cereal.
Yeah, I do too. But
look at the box.
Yeah. They got whole cereal bars now. You can just go in there and
they don't
pour
taste,
whatever
it's
you
not
want.
It's the same, though. It's just sugar.
Right. Some of that stuff on there.
Uh-huh.
Molly smoking pocketing. Right.
I know. I was like, is something wrong with his microphone?
That's on the back of it. Look.
It's like, what's wrong with Anthony?
you know what?
Some of them ingredients. Right.
I'm going to say vegan meatloaf. Some people would say vegan meatloaf.
Okay.
I'm going to be like.
What, go beyond? What's the meat substitute?
I use Beyond, and there's one called something life.
These?
Yeah.
Nah, they'll show it that. You talking about Nutter Butters. Nah, I don't eat Nutter Butters. I don't do it.
That's funny. Got him.
That tickled him to that South Mech right there. He was like, I didn't use that.
Look, man.
I tell you, I use that. I don't care how old you is. I don't care where you from. What you think? When I was in Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
at least once a week in the middle of either team meetings or office meetings, I would say it. And I don't know. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much money you make.
Oh yeah.
It's always a tickler.
Right. Yeah.
So continue with your.
Yeah, you said vegan meatloaf.
Yeah, some people feel, I guess they feel like if it's not meat, how's it meatloaf?
Yeah.
Very. They don't understand. Like, why would you not eat a perfectly good
meal?
Turkey meatloaf or beef meatloaf, and you want to play around.
Yeah.
Pretend like you eat meatloaf. But it's pretty good.
Yeah. You cook it? Because I heard you're a pretty good cook.
Yeah, I cook it.
I got a question then. So
I do miss oxtails sometime and beef ribs.
Oh, so you're a vegan?
No, I was for 2.5 years. I'm still back on seafood now. And believe it or not, there was a moment once I had COVID really bad in December. You know, we'll probably get into it. But after that, I was like, you know what? I almost died. I want wings. I must have bought the biggest bag from Giant Penny and fried every last one of them on the back porch. Until I didn't want it no more. Man, I ate so many.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was going to die. I said, you going to die.
I was like, you just, at that point, you deserved it.
Yeah, you going to die a vegan? God, it's got to be boring on the way. Ain't no vegan.
You had a whole conversation with self.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah, you was right there. You was about to see the white light in your mind.
It was kind of creamish, creamish.
So I got a question then. Mm-hmm. Is a hot dog considered a sandwich?
Nah, hot dog is a hot dog.
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw
it out. It's kind of a sandwich, but it ain't really. I don't want to call a hot dog a sandwich. It's in the way. Yeah. of all the other great sandwiches that.
See, that's
it's like
I
you
ask.
Keep pushing. If a hot dog is here, so it's gonna push this sandwich back.
What? There's a hierarchy?
Yeah. That's hierarchy. See. turkey sandwich.
Yeah, that's a sandwich.
You know,
yeah.
Ham sandwich. Mm-hmm. You know, you got all these great sandwiches.
Bologna?
Bologna sandwich.
Fried.
Big sandwich.
I ain't gonna lie to you. Fried bologna on that Weber's bread. Listen, you got that toasted,
That got us through a lot when I was a kid. That,
man.
Now, somebody asked me bologna, I smacked the
potted meat and saltine crackers.
Listen,
when you were broke and that's all we had on a Friday night.
I'm the buying a sausage.
Right.
I was broke, but I don't know what potted meat is.
The what? Can?
It's
know
a can of
meat?
Just yes, scrambled brains.
Yeah,
like
right.
Brain.
I don't know where it's from. It's stuff. Yeah.
It's pink. It's
usually
stuff.
Right beside pink. The where the spam was.
Don't stuff. Eat that pink meat.
Look, but it's a can of something.
Yeah. I don't know how to explain it.
Potted meat?
Yeah,
potted meat,
I forgot which meat we was talking about.
Pause.
Out of the game. I am taking myself out of the game. I rolled both ankles, coach.
What a thing. Silly putty.
I don't know where it's from. I don't know, but it's just in a can. It was beside the Spam. It's
always.
Yep.
And it had like jelly in it.
Well,
Spam had jelly all around.
I ate Spam and I've ate Vienna sausage. I've never eaten.
Yeah, the potted meat?
Yeah.
Potted meat, man.
That tuna. Tuna and crackers.
Oh, I eat tuna.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's not potted meat, though.
But I'm just saying, all that was on the same aisle. All that was on the same
the broke aisle.
The broke aisle, right?
I'm just making sure.
Kool-Aid wasn't
where I ate.
Kool-Aid was down there.
Vienna sausage.
Tang was down there.
Yeah.
And tuna, chicken. But I never browsed the potted meat.
Potted meat, bro. All
right. So, okay, last one. And this is, damn it, this is the most important.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Sugar or salt in your grits. Sucker.
Come on, man. Salt and pepper and butter.
Yeah.
Yeah. You like sugar in your grits? Come on, man. I've been speaking to you all these years.
What complexion am I?
No, we are not the same. Don't, uh-uh.
First of all,
salt and grits.
Co-host, Cayete.
That's fine, but hey, listen, I'm not. You can't speak for all light skin.
I didn't
the committee.
Say,
your status is in question.
You drive like you like salt and pepper and butter in your grits, man. You lean with it.
Right. Yeah,
right.
Sugar.
I'm from the West Coast,
how
bro.
How to sugar drive?
Go ahead, and get his ass whooped today if you want to. Huh? Go ahead and get him backhand.
He's just
Anthony.
A little aggressive, a little up on the on the steering wheel, wheel.
They roll it all the way up to.
Lexington and small guy. That's what y'all doing, huh?
That's what's left in your bag.
No, I got a whole bunch of them. That was the one that kept this podcast going. Like, is Steve and Anthony
so you from
fist fighting? So, you know, let's jump into it because I think it's going to be fun. And I want to ask, we want to ask you some things and really just get your fans opportunity. And then also, you know how it is, man.
Yeah.
So much, the podcasts or media, there's so much information out there. You sometimes are lazy enough not to really just dive into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found myself just down. If it just go on your Wikipedia, and then I just saw all the things and all that stuff, and it just made me think about all these questions. And we've had some of these dialogues and talks, but I think some people really don't know how intriguing, discouraging, tough it is to want to have a career.
Mm-hmm.
And what it goes through. So, so I thought I was it'd be really cool. So we always ask, where are you from and the place you call your hometown?
I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina, born and raised here, and I call this home.
Mm-hmm.
I went away to New York. I lived in Harlem for about 8 years and New Jersey, Englewood and Teaneck, New Jersey. So I was gone about 14, 15 years. But I came back home because this is just home.
Mm-hmm. Now, not to age you,
mm-hmm.
but being born in the 70s.
Yeah.
Living in North Carolina, I know in my 19 years, I'm amazed at how it changed. I'm interested to hear how was Charlotte, mm-hmm. North Carolina. You went to South Mac High School.
Yeah, finished up at Hardin.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm imagining and assuming here in the South, late 70s, early 80s, It was different here.
Yeah, definitely. You know, coming up, I didn't have an experience with a lot of outside my neighborhood encounters. But, you know, you hear the stories and you see the news and everything. As you get older, you start to pay attention to what's going on. And just, you know, my side of town and different side of towns.
Which was what side of town?
West Boulevard, the west side, okay. South side, and I grew up there. But that looked different than Dilworth. Mm. You know, so my grandmother she used to clean houses. And she would put us on a city bus, me and my sister, and drive us through the real nice neighborhoods and let us see.
Which were what neighborhoods at that time?
Dilworth.
Bountime didn't exist.
No, that was just a dairy farm.
Wow.
Dilworth. Yeah, right where we live, you know, that neighborhood was a dairy farm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And then Mel Graham and some of his people, Billy Graham's nephew, they bought it up and turned it, you know, developed it into what it is now. But yeah, a lot of that was fields. So we used to go out there and rave and raise hell. Can you say hell?
Yeah, you say whatever you want to say, raise hell.
I mean, not everything you want to. But
nah,
yeah.
Not everything. I'll internalize it. And then I'll get therapy. You know, make me better. But yeah, you see a lot of there's a lot of opportunities that came, you know, with a lot of hard work. But then there's still some similarities, as in, you know, being able to have the better jobs and certain things, being, you know, of color. Mm-hmm. It's a little different. But I see some growth in different areas.
Would you call your career in music business, an industry, or another word?
It's an industry that's operated, you know, with business. And it's also a place for me to really exhale. So it's kind of therapeutic for me.
Mm.
And in so many ways, I get to take the chance to handle business in this industry, to put my thoughts out there, and to you know, air out some laundry. So I use it for a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, how were you first introduced to music?
Man, from the womb, it goes back that deep. My mother and father both loved music, and you know, we heard it a lot. My grandmother, it was just gospel. She was so saved. And, you know.
That's pretty unique. What kind of gospel, though? Who are we talking?
I don't feel no waste at all. James Cleveland, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, James Cleveland. Now, James Cleveland,
yeah.
His church, yeah. I grew up. His church was like four blocks from my house.
Oh, wow.
James Cleveland in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
The James Cleveland that died and they realized he was doing a lot of stuff. Yeah, that James Cleveland?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, yeah. I was, they changed that church into at one point, a pick and save.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And no respect.
Well, hey, when you taking things in the Lord's name.
Mm.
That was such a churchy response, too.
Hey. Hey. You know, in a regular world, you take stuff like that, you go to jail.
Yeah. Gospel world.
Make it to a pick and save.
Yeah.
We have to take a break. And more than anything, we got to pay some bills.
Mm-hmm. Need that check.
I love Cut To It. And I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut To It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut To It.
Facebook?
Cut To It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. CutToItPodcast.com.
Describe your journey from your perspective of getting into the business world and the industry of music, mm-hmm. but also you saying it's your therapy and you get to air your dirty laundry and air your good laundry as well.
Yeah. And it is a career because early on I knew, okay, this is what I want to do. You know, you dream about being a musician, a singer-songwriter. Mm. And all of my steps were toward anything musical, from school, from church first, being on the choir, to school choir.
Singing or just in the chorus?
Singing.
Leading or just in a
band? I led a few songs. You know, when you're young, you don't want all that attention at the time. And then you start getting older. I started singing out more. 12, 13, mm-hmm. girls start saying, you sing for me. Sure will.
Yo, absolutely. Look at that game.
Yeah, you start, you know, getting more comfortable with your gifts, and you start trying to find ways to take it to the next level. So I'd get into talent shows, form little groups around town, start harmonizing. And
before YouTube, before the...
No tubes.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, at school, when you know, lunchtime.
But you go back, though. You said... Mm-hmm. Confident in your gift.
And when did you know it was a gift?
When you dream about it and you feel so connected to something like that is almost magical feeling, and you can't stop doing it or thinking about it, then you know something birthed in you that's special, and those things are gifts. Because you didn't ask for it, you didn't train for it, so it's kind of given to you. So I knew then to continue with it, because if I hadn't, you know, taken it that serious that early on and got swayed away from it, I would be miserable, probably on drugs somewhere or something, just miserable, because that's who I am truly. So I made every step to get to the next level of it. I started performing in talent shows and won a few, got booed a few times.
Wow.
Yeah, right here in Charlotte.
What'd that do for you? The booing and the winning.
You know, winning is good. It's always good to win. But sometimes when you get booed, if you're smart, you'll try to see why. Try to look back and say, okay, maybe I was doing too much vocally. Maybe I was trying to be something that I wasn't. I was trying to do some Jodeci runs or some R. Kelly runs or some, you know, different runs, and that's not my voice. So it made me pay attention to how can I present the next song in a way that I'm doing truly me. At least try it different and see what the outcome would be. And so I started doing that. And you know, one man was like, quit bullshitting and sing. Big dude. It was actually at a little, I don't even know how I got to go down there by myself. It was across the street. West Boulevard was a busy street. And I crossed from my neighborhood over that busy street. I used to have to go to the store all the time for my mother and grandmother anyway, so maybe I was just that good at crossing the street, and I could run fast. I ran track. But I would go down there, sit in. It was like a liquor house, a bar. They sold hot dogs and tires. It was this place on West Boulevard, and I would go down there, and they had the live music. Not live music, but they had the speakers out, and they had a microphone. And I'd go down there and just start singing. And
cord, too, huh?
Yeah, the cord, definitely. That long black cord. Yeah, it can go from
West Boulevard. Two house speakers?
Two concert, mini concert speakers. Mm. I don't know where they got them from. It was a lot of illegal something.
They got it at the local barbershop.
Probably, because it was about three everything. Or four of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd go down there and sing, and he was like, quit bullshitting and sing. You got a nice voice. Sing. And that was the last time I tried that wiggle voice.
That what?
Wiggle voice.
What's a wiggle voice?
All that. Yeah.
You had the head going and everything.
They were like, stop putting on.
Stop lambda, lambda, lambing. And sing. The horsey in.
Yeah.
So I started singing a different way. I was like, okay, this has been told to me. And when I started doing that, I developed my voice into something more old school, where they sang. Teddy Pendergrass would just sing, tell the story. Luther Vandross would sing and hold his notes
now
out.
You talking so? No, I.
So
Luther?
Yeah.
You perked up now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love me some Luther. Man. You know who I don't like? Damn Sade.
You don't like Sade?
No. My mama used to play that every Saturday. That, you know what that meant? Cleaning up.
God, clean, you got to give her a second chance, man. Yeah,
every time I hear Sade.
You just grab a broom.
You can't help it.
In a dustpan.
Stick his hands in the toilet.
Who else? Who are some of your other musical influences? You talked about Teddy, Luther.
Oh, man.
Stevie?
Bill Withers. Stevie Wonder, of course. Yeah.
Curtis Blow?
Heck yeah. Big fan. I wasn't expecting Curtis Blow. Rap is music to me.
Yeah, for sure. That's what
I'm a 70s baby.
I grew up. Yeah.
Run DMC.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Fat Boys was one of my favorite groups.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, you had the Beastie Boys. You had a lot of great talent back in the day. EPMD, Kool Moe Dees. There was a lot of Dees. Like, there's a lot of the babies, little baby.
Yeah.
Baby. Right.
Or is it Sly and the Family Stone?
Oh, Sly and the Family Stone.
You know what I do love, though? Man. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
I was going to say Isley Brothers. That versus the other day.
I went to school with the Isley Brothers, so I kind of throw shade every time.
You went to school with that? How?
One of the brothers.
I was about to say,
nowhere near that age.
No, it was.
So you went to school with Ron Isley?
No.
Absolutely.
No, not one of the Isley Brothers.
Whatever you're using on your skin is good.
I was about to say, damn.
Several times.
Yeah,
one of the Isley Brothers.
I say Smitty is Benjamin Button. All of a sudden,
man, so much Button fly. Benjamin Button fly. Like,
0.5.
Right. You know.
Yeah, I just old school music is so old school music. You go back to it, and you knew what they were singing about.
Mm-hmm.
Shit, now you mess around.
It's not relatable.
You mess around and sing a song, you go to jail.
It's not. And the older I get, the more I have appreciation for the Earth, Wind, and Fires, the Isley Brothers, like all that stuff. Just because
Double Dutch Bus,
the street.
Yeah. So I got way more appreciation for that stuff now. The older I get, just for real music, because it was real back then.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's not now, but you felt it now. It's different.
I mean, like one of the songs I love that by Luther Vandross, "Dance with My Father." He talks about his relationship with his dad that got cut short through his mom.
Yeah.
Even now, me and my son, my oldest, baby, that same song came on. I shared it with him. And said, "Man, it just made me think about you." I teared up.
Yeah.
Just having that fun and father and son connection.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many old school songs that you can actually sing along with it, and you really know what they're saying. There's no subliminal messages. Mm-hmm. You know exactly what they're talking about.
And you remember that point in time that you listened to stuff. Because I'll even use Anthony, some of his music, like Point of It All. That came out right when, I believe, me and my wife were dating, and we were I was about to propose to her.
Wow.
So like that's our song, right? Yeah. Like that song was at our wedding, right?
Wow.
So just those, you remember songs that take you to that point in time because it has substance and it's substantial for you.
Yeah, and you know, I try to write and create music that has that timeless connection to people, and it's something that's kind of easy for me
because
I can identify. I mean, I can remember life and things that I've been through and moments that made me feel good and moments that didn't feel so good, or things I have experienced through my parents and aunts and uncles. And just being in school and being a young love, all these things that you feel when it's time to write and the music is playing, I was like, man, I remember. This reminds me of, because everything comes from what's been here before. This is all recycled. A lot of stuff is recycled. It's like, wow, that chord reminds me of this.
Mm.
Let me tell my version of this story.
Mm.
And that's what it is. Like, you know, if you can connect to it and tell your version of the story, people pretty much can identify with what you're saying, and they'll start listening different.
So when you talk about the recycling of things, how... Walk us through this industry of music, how, you know, you hear different versions, different stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people say, no, this is how money is made, this is how it's not, but it's country music, mm-hmm. how they make their music, how tours are successful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. even just as simple as what does it mean to be signed to a record label?
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean today? And even what did it mean, you signed with Uptown back in the day?
RCA. I mean, you've been with a number of record labels, not necessarily by choice or something you did wrong, but mm-hmm. just how the business has morphed and changed. Mm-hmm. But yet, the common denominator is music still needs to be made.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely has to be made. Being signed to a label, it's like having Harvard or going to one of these amazing colleges like Johnson C. Smith, having them backing you up and just going to Rudy's Academy where nobody really knows who they are and what they stand for. It's almost like you get co-signed by the greats, the people who've been signed to those labels like the James Browns or the Jodeci's. And you're signed to these labels, so it says something about who you are and what you have. As a talent, you looked at in a different light. It's like I made it from just the streets and the talent shows. Here I am now amongst the greatest. You know, you go to the office, you see Andre Harrell, you see Russell Simmons in there and Puffy walking through the hallway, and Mary J. Blige coming in and out. I'm like, wow, I really, really made a big step. Leaving Charlotte and going to the big league. So it's different. You can put music out now independently, but you still want the majors to
support.
To acknowledge it.
Mm.
I think we're all trained to think that these big corporations, they are the ones who dictate what's really popular and what's really successful, because they have the relationships with radio and all these people. So you want to get there. Almost like getting their blessings or, getting the okay. That's when you know you're doing something, when you can get the attention of those majors, whether it's independent or signed to one of them.
So after getting signed,
mm-hmm.
obviously that's your mountaintop.
It can be. I was signed, and I was signed for 10 years before the first album came out. So you can be signed, and
You're signed for 10 years?
I was signed in 93 to Uptown. The first album didn't come out until 2003. Yeah, I've worked on a few of them in between there. But it was always the record labels falling out. Same.
Falling out with who?
Uptown. Uptown was distributed through MCA.
Uh-huh.
So they had a falling out.
Uh-huh.
So I was on I was in the, I was about to come out. And so when they severed ties, it just kind of like, well, what are we going to do with him? They're not letting Andre take me. He wanted to. But MCA didn't have anything invested in me other than, just money. But nobody wanted to adopt a project to be their own.
Mm.
So I sat around. And that happened a few times with Andre Harrell again through Sony. And then Soul Life through Atlantic Records. They had a falling out. And here I am again. This happened 3 major times, I know.
And you still sit, and you were sitting on that album.
Yeah, I sat on a few. I have a lot of music. Soul Life came out afterwards. One of the investors put it out. Southern Comfort came out. The first album, Ecstasy, from Uptown. It hadn't come out yet, but some people have got their hands on it. I'm gonna release it because I own the masters now.
Hmm. You say now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
own now that. As in?
Well, after in my contract, I had it set to, after so many years, it reverts back to me. You got to be smart about it. You gotta, if you don't know that, you don't know to ask for it. But if it had come out back then, I would have been robbed up because the contract, it wasn't the best contract.
Mm.
I'd ate a little bit, but they would ate a lot, some of the people involved.
Mm.
But you learn from that.
So what kept you motivated in those 10 years to where you don't just decide, I'm done with the music business question. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, I had that moment once or twice. And it's almost like something would happen good. Like I wrote the Donnell Jones, co-wrote Donnell Jones. Say mm-hmm. what? Say what?
Yeah. We was playing. Actually, I was looking at that, and me and Angie were playing that.
Wow.
Last night.
Wow.
Just kind of.
Yeah.
Just grooving to it because it's one of those. It's really cool. Is I believe 2006.
Yeah.
2006 that came out. Donnell Jones. However, mm-hmm. the guy who's singing it. My freaking neighbor,
yeah.
right? And you're not, you know, I think that's one of the interesting things as well is as little boys, mm-hmm. man, we aspire to be something so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the pie in the sky, mm-hmm. or like for me, is I always wanted to play in the NFL, but I never thought about college.
Mm.
And so hearing you just be on a album, and then I go back and I see that you were part of Thug's Mansion,
yeah,
the remix on yeah. Tupac.
Yeah,
you know, just hearing all this music on what Nappy Roots,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
all of those little bitty,
mm-hmm.
in the grand scheme of things, little bitty songs. However. You know,
mm-hmm.
and you sitting down, and those are
mm-hmm.
the barbecue,
the classics,
the songs. Mm-hmm. You sitting down when you playing
yeah.
spades, when you playing tonk, when you playing dominoes, and when you cooking, and those are the songs that when they come on, everybody becomes energized. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah,
everybody's sitting there. You know, you got old. You got that old uncle. Me and G starting to be that old yeah. Uncle Joe, backstage Joe. Where you got that old uncle. He got that same move, right?
Yeah,
they call you OG now.
Yeah, yeah. And they yeah. tell me, oh, you just got that. When you gonna change up the move?
Yeah.
And I look at, I'm getting that to the age where I'll be able to tell the niece and nephew, your auntie ain't got a problem with that move. You know, it's just.
Yeah.
It, those songs and those hooks and just you mm-hmm. writing that. Take us through the process of writing a song that's melodies and music to people's ears, but they don't really know how much goes into it.
You know, sometime when going in to write a song for somebody else is a little harder than writing for yourself. Because you have to get into this person's, into their mind, into, mm-hmm. you know, it's good to kind of know a little bit about them, their life. Or you can take previous songs that they've done and try to mimic something about it. For me, the music speaks and then the lyrics will come. Mm-hmm. I like to find something that's, okay, this song, it needs to say this. This beat, that Donnell Jones beat was up. Like, this has to be an up song.
Mm. So when they send you to you.
I was in the studio with the,
oh, you with was
the
with
producer.
Them? Okay, okay.
Producers. Chris Lighty, Darren and Chris Lighty, and a dude named Balawa. We were actually in New Jersey, and this is something I needed at the time because I was down. You know, about to give up, and I got this opportunity. And so this gave me a little bit more hope when I heard the song. There's a train. It's a short train.
Yeah.
And then again, it's gone.
Yeah.
Train left. Was that the midnight train to Georgia? In the daytime? I was like confused. You know, you can do what you want now. Like, you know, you can do what you want.
High in the moment.
Oh, man, midnight train to Georgia in the daytime.
It's 1:15.
Well, yeah,
we in Charlotte, so it's going to Georgia.
You know what I'm saying? You got to. But yeah, you just try to write something that you feel melodically people they want to repeat. And you want it to be catchy. But you want to be saying something that they feel like, okay, I can identify. This feels good.
I think it's about that time. Just take a little breather.
Cut through it. Cut through it. Let's get down to it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from cuttoitpodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
This whole thing?
What do you mean you were down?
All my record deals seemed like they kept falling apart. You just need something to make you feel good. Mm-hmm. A placement, doing backgrounds or something to let you know, like, okay, this
so it
is
sounds like
vain.
Some things were a lot. The well was starting to dry up a little bit.
It's a little ashy around the top of the bricks.
Career need a little lotion.
Yeah, they need a little
boy
lotion.
Boy needs some jerkins, right. Huh? That boy got eczema.
Yeah. You got
getting
eczema.
Getting a little eczema. You know, and yeah, and you know, you don't have a lot of money,
yeah.
So to do backgrounds or sing backgrounds or to get a writing gig, you know, that you can turn that into money. The backgrounds, you go through a union, they pay you. You get paid pretty good doing backgrounds. So if I do four notes, if I do da 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 da. If I do four of those and put, so those are four different tracks. If I put three different voices under those, stack them, that's like, you know, that's 12 notes. You get, that's about $4,000 when you're going through the union. So
wow.
I learned that game. I got robbed up. Somebody paid me like $400 to do all those notes.
Really?
Yeah, he know who he is.
Back. You know, I can go collect for you. How much do you need?
Nah.
I'll get you your money. The extra, don't worry about none of that.
Look, I like seeing him try to put that ponytail together.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Now, I get my payback watching him try to slick that hair into a ponytail.
Yeah.
So you brought up something really important that I wanted to hit on. While you were a background singer, yeah, whether it's for D'Angelo, I know you opened up for Jodeci as well, another Charlotte act. But what did that teach you about the industry when you were doing the background stuff? What did that teach you about the industry?
You get a chance to see how the lead man is moving and what it takes to get him from point A to point B. All the team players that it takes to, you know, to facilitate success and then make it move a certain way. The tour manager, actually my tour manager now, was the lighting director for D'Angelo, but I knew he knew how to move on the road, so I went to hire him to be my tour manager. It's been about 20 years.
I know we hit you with a lot, but what's the state of R&B music right
you
now?
You know, there's still some R&B. I think her straddles.
Ooh,
she does it in a way that does, you know, the new and the old,
yeah,
pretty good. Daniel Caesar has some really good songs.
Yeah.
Khalid, he kind of R&B-ish, but kind of more on the newer side.
Mm-hmm.
Jasmine Sullivan definitely is R&B and soul. She does it well. There's a few, you know, like the Tank.
About,
R. Kelly was really, I know people mad about, mm-hmm, you know, but he
you can't
was.
Can't be mad. You just got to stay away from it. I was listening to James Brown, mm-hmm, you know, just hearing it and how and what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
It's so different now. You can't, now everybody's singing and they got to have their little signature start.
Yeah.
Right. It's just.
Weezy out of here.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Maybach music. Everybody, you know. You got all these starters, man.
Yeah, or yeah.
Trigger.
Trigger.
Hey, yo, Tay Keith.
Yeah.
Just like all this stuff now, but man, it's just sometimes just sitting down. And I think, especially with COVID,
mm-hmm,
and you sitting around, you know, I look at how COVID has made our young men and women, where they're stuck in the house, sitting in there. And I remember I used to sit at home, turn on the radio, and think about playing football,
mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. listening to music. Now that music triggers me to remember back when I was a young man. Mm-hmm. None of that music exists right now.
Nah, music none of it. Tired you, now.
Yeah,
it's so much.
Yeah,
it's so much repetitive. Yeah.
No. That's a hit right there.
I was
going
to say, you just wrote one.
You know, I mean, yeah. It's melodic, but it's just like you get trapped in a like a mental zone.
Yeah.
And it affects the kids, man. And a lot of it has some, I don't know, like not suicidal, but like some dark undertones to it if you're not careful. You know, my younger three, they really love music. And, you know, they know, okay, well, Dad, can you play such and such, the clean version? Mm. Because they know that the other version is not welcomed.
Yeah.
You know, amongst family and things like that. So
you back with a new single, You Made a Fool of Me.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, and you got an album coming up.
Yeah, in August. I got in with JD, Jermaine Dupri, and we were working on a project. Mm. Actually, we started working on a music for this new album, and then everybody on the internet, Facebook and IG were like, man, it's so good to see y'all back together. Mm. When is this project coming out? He was like, he said, you think what I'm thinking? Mm-hmm. I said, nah, but what, you know, what are you thinking? He said, we should do a project together. Mm. You and I be on the same, you know, the album cover be you and I, and put out this music for the people who are chiming in every night, mm-hmm. watching us create this music. And that's how it started. But this particular song, You Made a Fool of Me, was one of those songs. But I'm working on the album for my fans, my true fans, who just want to hear Anthony Hamilton. So I borrowed that song from the Jermaine Dupri project because I felt like being gone so long, I wanted to come back with something real, real R&B. Not straddling the fence, not halfway doing it. This and I wanted to bring back that Charlene, that emotion, that connection that people had to Charlene. And so JD produced this music, and he had never produced. He said, I ain't never made a record like this. It's so old school, but the fans are, you know, radio starting to eat it up. Mm-hmm. You know, me, him, and Eddie Kane, we went in and we did it. Mm-hmm. And I'll go back in later on this week to finish recording some new stuff for the new album.
You know, talk us through how COVID infected the music industry. People were feeling like they lost their craft and they were going to lose their lives too, and their livelihood.
Well, you know, like you said, people think that money is going to keep rolling and rolling and rolling, and nothing, nobody foresaw this coming, this happening, COVID. And you out there spending, tricking off $30,000, $20,000, buying all these cars and doing all these things that take money. If you're not saved up, then you go into a state of panic and you start to try to figure it out. I save, you know, I drive one car at a time. You know, and just being smart and saving my money. Some people felt that it was never going to end, like you said, and they didn't put nothing aside. So during COVID, you're trying to figure it out. If you weren't savvy enough to go to the internet and start doing lives and creating streams of income for yourself, then you were shot. And you know. Some people turn to drugs. Some people turn to alcohol. Some people just like, you know, I'll ride it out. You know, you couldn't do concerts, not unless you did it on live. And it's a difference when people come to your, certain artists can still have an audience.
No matter
during,
what.
Yeah, during COVID, you know. Like D-Nice did great.
Yeah.
Tabitha Brown, who's online cooking, she did amazing. I did great. My first show during COVID, I had, what, like 80,000 people chimed in?
Wow.
You know?
Did you have to pay for that?
Did I have to pay?
No.
This is, I gave that one for free.
Yeah. You just did it on live?
Yeah, I did it on IG Live. and streamed it from my living room. And it's 80,000 people. So when you have true music and you connect to the people, they'll come, yeah, because they needed that outlet.
Absolutely.
But if you've been feeding them garbage and they've been following your hype, then that's nothing for them. Like right now, they don't need hype. Like, it's hard. We can't breathe. We can't. You know what I mean? We can't go outside.
Yeah.
I'd be damned if I'm gonna chime in. You know, I'm not about to chime in to hear some ay yang yang ay yang yang ay yang yang. I'm not about to chime in to, you know. Now you have to be selective. Will I spend my money on this? This is a necessity, and this is bull. And so you started weaving out what was really real, and people, you know, some people panicked.
Do you think it's going to have a long-term effect on the music business?
I think people are so ready to go out and do something, but they're going to be selective.
You hope, or is they going to fall into the trap and start buying the same old?
I hope. Hopefully, they you know, continue to pour in the stuff that's really real and invest in and the stuff that's really real.
What were you going through? You said you got COVID and getting COVID, and you had some deep conversations with yourself.
Yeah, I had COVID in December.
How'd you get it? Do you know?
In Atlanta. I went to Atlanta. Actually, when I was down there working with JD, it wasn't from the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I did a video. Although they were taking everybody's temperature and doing things like that and keeping people distant, there was a scene where the main lead girl.
Person.
Yeah, person.
Yeah.
She was in close proximity of we were there close.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure it was probably from that. You know, although she didn't have a temperature, she probably had
symptoms or something.
Yeah, something, you know, underlying, waiting on it, and it jumped on me.
Yeah.
So I was in the hospital 2 weeks.
You were in the hospital?
Yeah, 2 weeks. Wow. Yeah, in the hospital and on oxygen.
Mm. Wow.
And so, you know, when you land there, it's like, damn, I ain't ready.
Mm.
Like, what are my young boys going to do? What am I going to do? Is it going to affect my voice? And there were nights when I was like, damn, I'm in tears. Like, man, I got to get out of here. So I would do all I could do. There was a breathing little plastic, looked like a little piece of junk, little breathing thing.
Yeah, to see how your volumes are.
Yeah. So I'd do it. I'd do it a couple times a day, like around on every hour. And I'd get up and move around. I was really weak. Lost a lot of weight, probably like 15 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just start to rethink things. And so I sang Charlene, laying in the bed, and I sung Charlene. Mm. And it sounded pretty good. But
you weren't singing it to sound good, were you?
No, I was singing if I had it still.
Mm. Why?
Did it? Because that mattered. Like, like sometimes you're like, I know I'm somebody without the music. I know I'm, you know, still a father and still a man and all these great, you know, other qualities I have. But I've invested so much in being Anthony Hamilton, the singer. For that to be stripped away without a warning could be devastating.
Hmm. You were singing a little bit to see if you still had it, but you also
my voice.
But you also singing it for at that time laying on the bed for hope.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, if you at some point didn't feel like you can still sing, what were you thinking? What were you feeling?
Man. Because you're so weak, and you're like, man, this thing is, you know, I don't feel like myself. And I hadn't even tried it up until that moment that I did for the fear of it not being there. So I just tried it, and nobody was around. I just kind of just sung it. And it came out. But when I got out of the hospital and I tried to sing it a little full, I can tell my lungs had been compromised. And it just was not a good thing.
Hmm.
So that was another, you know, moment of slight depression for just a little while.
Yeah.
Until I worked my lungs out and, could sing out. I was laying there, like, they give you antiviral stuff and give you all, you know, stuff to try to help your body fight this virus. It's like, am I going to be able to get off oxygen today?
Wow.
Mm. So it started going down a little bit. Worked my way down, and then I was off of it for the last three days. It's like, I hope, you know, it stays up so I can get out of here.
Yeah.
And turn out to be 2 weeks.
You say you started thinking about your eating and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You just sound like you were sitting in that bed and you started almost literally going like a budget of your life, line item.
Reconciling.
What's important. Like you've been wasting time doing this. This right here is not that important. Definitely not. I don't have any energy for this or any energy for this. Certain things became really apparent that they were BS. But you know, I could have died. Did I want to go to heaven as vegan? When they have all that good fried chicken.
But weeks before that, you cried.
Yeah, definitely cried. Yeah, I cried, yeah.
Just trying to get your voice back.
Trying to get that back and just want to be alive for my younger three boys. Mm. I was like, dang.
So what have you done and what do you continue to do for your mental health?
You know, just you wake up and you breathe and you realize what you have access to and what you don't. And that, you know, you have an option. What I don't have access to, am I capable of you know, getting access? And you make the steps toward it. Just do the work each day to kind of get to where you need to be. You know, I take time out. I ride my bike. We did a lot of bike riding before we had COVID. My younger three boys had it as well, they did pretty good. But I ride my bike. I make sure I take time out to just decompress. Stay off of the internet as much as you can. You could take in a lot of the political stuff and a lot of the racial stuff that happened, but you have to balance even that.
So going through all that with COVID, what's your outlook now on life and with your career?
You know, be as healthy as you can mentally, spiritually, and physically. Enjoy it. Enjoy every day. And love on the people. Like, you know, it sounds cliche. Love on the loved ones and family. Hmm. And really do it from a sincere place.
Yeah.
And the people that you don't F with, don't F with them. Yep. I have no energy for X, Y, and Z. Mm. And, you know, I'm not explaining it no more. So you just kind of move on from what's garbage.
Yeah.
Would you want your kids to follow in your footsteps?
I want them to be the best version of who they are.
I know.
With this music.
Yeah, with this music. Because,
you know,
you've been through a lot.
Yeah. You know, but I think they have an advantage now that I'm in it.
Mm.
So it's like, all right. I went through all that for you.
Mm.
So don't do it the dummy
but
way.
You know they ain't gonna, you know, you don't know nothing.
Yeah, because
you know, you don't know nothing about music.
Yeah.
I've been told I don't know. Hey Dad, you don't know.
I mean, my older
your
two
kids,
boys,
do you like that?
They're starting to listen now.
That's going for Yelp.
Yeah. Because they think, it's new school. Yeah, we want to kind of do it this way. I can just, you know, do it through the internet. I said, well, don't put music out there until you have some people listening. Because if not, it's just out there for nothing. Mm. You know how much stuff is out there?
Mm. Yeah, it's a lot.
Don't do it. Like, wait, make sure they're listening and then put it out. Mm. You know, so they tried it once or twice.
How'd it work for them?
Crickets. You know?
And how did you handle when they came back to you?
This tea is good. This is good tea. Ooh, this is a real good tea. It's hot too. Some hot tea. Put more ginger in it. Wilma, more ginger, please.
Well, man, Anthony, it's just, you know, it's been an honor, but it's just been cool to talk to you, laugh,
yeah, man,
and joke. And
this was fun.
You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent, and most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It. Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr. That is me. is a production of Cut To It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut To It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut To It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Labreck, production coordinator Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
Because you know it's on.
It's on.